Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. What's up, guys? I just wanted to come on here and thank you guys so much for an amazing season. It's because of all of you that all of this is happening, and I could not be more grateful. Here are some of my favorite moments from this season. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit, and I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child, and here we are.
You bitches ready? What's up, you sexy motherfuckers?
It is scary. I don't know. Today I was getting ready and I was like, oh, I should talk to the story or tell Bunny about the story. So let me tell you about one of them. So this is about the middle vibration. So there was this one time that I was reading this girl, this woman, and she was sitting down. Remember, all of my things are online. So all of my sessions are online. And so she's sitting down. She has her phone right here. And all I can see is that she has tile behind her. That's it. And she's wanting to channel this woman named Jenna. And I begin bringing her forward. I'm channeling Jenna. And it's weird because I begin to feel the coldness of the tile on my back. Mm. And I was like, odd. I said, I think she's in this room with you. And she goes, like, laughs about it a second. And so I keep calling her. I was like, Jenna, what's up? What's up? What's up? And then she shows me this flash of essentially blood everywhere coming from certain locations, like wrists and stuff like that. And then she shows me the same color tile where she's at. And I go, did she pass in this bathroom? And she was like, yeah. I said, did she, you know, commit suicide? And she goes, yeah, she did. She goes, I'm sitting in the spot where I found her.
Wow.
And I go, oh, okay. Oh. And so her spirit is still in that area. And so she's trying to, like, come up to her wife and tell her how much she loves her and tell her how much she misses her. And she's trying to have this connection. And she's going through and she's talking about their Basset Hound dog. Like, she's in that house with them. And I tell her all these things. And she's like, I see her all the time in here. I see her all the time. I'm like, because they're there. They're helping you until they move up. And so, yeah, that was very, very interesting.
How long does it take for somebody to be able to move up?
Okay, so time doesn't exist in the afterlife.
Mm-hmm. So it's just whenever.
Yeah. So
who decides that they could move up?
Yourself.
Wow.
Yourself.
So it's like she has to let go.
She has
of
to let go.
She's done.
Yeah, you have to find your light. You have
to. God, we got to work through trauma in this life and in the next life.
Well, yeah, I mean, but if you
what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, I know, but it's like if you don't, that's the whole thing. We're here. We're learning. We're understanding. You know what
Absolutely,
is love.
Yeah.
You know, and all that stuff. And so if you kind of like flake out on it, you know, you're still gonna have to go learn.
Got a second chance. Yeah. So start doing the fucking work now. Shadow work now. How long do you like to have sex?
Oh, not a long time.
Me either.
Dude, if you more than 10 minutes, I'm like, I got shit to do.
Yeah, I can do 15, you're pushing it. Okay,
we got a whole lot of stuff to do.
There's some dudes that like to go for like hours. Like,
how?
Ew.
Why?
First of all, my pussy hole can't take that.
No.
There's no fucking way.
After a while, I'm like, it fucking hurts.
It does. It hurts and it just like, it's like,
What are we doing?
Okay.
Yeah, we were just like, okay, bro, like, hurry up. Like those weird porn dudes. I don't know if you ever had one of them. I have. They just
sure haven't. Nope.
Yeah, the ones with like the weird flavor savers. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Not one of them.
Yeah, fucking, they get weird. And
I bet.
Don't like it. Slam bam. Thank you, ma'am. Keep it memorable, you know? Just fuck the living breath out of me. Leave me breathless. Not leave me fucking just counting sheep and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
You know, something. You're just passing the time like one.
You're like thinking about two. All the shit you have to do. You're like, yeah. Man, I really got to get laundry done.
Well, today we are going to dive into one of Mimi's favorite serial killers.
I
which
love him so much.
I'm reading this story and I'm just so fucking sick to my stomach. And she said the craziest thing to me because she's like, I don't feel like he was a serial killer. And mm-hmm. I'm like, this dude is fucking, something's wrong with him.
He's a psychopath. He's my favorite psychopath. I don't believe he was a serial killer. No. He got off on the idea of death.
Right.
Not the idea of killing.
Right. And like he only killed a couple of people, right?
Technically three people, and that's what makes you a serial killer.
Right.
Three people.
But he dug up the corpses.
Majority of everyone else that he handled was already dead. Of natural causes.
Right. But to have compassion for a weirdo like this, it's going to be hard for me to find.
I feel like this is similar to the Eileen Moreno story that we covered.
No, she kind of, you know, had a heart. At least she loved, you know, girls and fucking only killed men. completely different.
They just weren't alive.
For those of you who don't know who we're talking about, we are talking about Ed Gein.
Ed Gein.
And he's pretty spicy.
Mm-hmm. I got her roped in by telling her a very key part of this story. And she said, oh, we're doing it.
This
has now developed into like an art form for him.
Yeah.
Essentially his whole entire. And you know, what's crazy is like, it wasn't like a clean home that just had like a pair of lips hanging from the shades. He was a hoarder. So there were stacks of books everywhere. He did love to read. That was his escape. But there was just shit everywhere in this place. So it took a second, you know, for people to realize when they went in there, like, holy shit, this is what we're looking at. These chairs that this guy is sitting in are made out of skin.
They would also go on to find a collection of female genitalia, four chairs with woven cane seats replaced by tanned human skin, tattooed skin lampshades, and limbs and heads in boxes. Gein had made a tom-tom drum from a can covered top to bottom with stretched human skin, and a skin purse with a handle. He had cut an inverted skull in half to make a bowl and made an armchair with human arm bones. I mean, you gotta admit, the dude's fucking creative.
He is an artist.
He's an artiste. Yeah.
It did say when you read the tanned skin, he tanned the skin.
Oh.
So it wasn't that he was digging up people with tanned skin.
Yeah.
He was actually like doing things to the skin afterwards.
Leaving it outside to fucking get a little suntan.
Mm-hmm.
What if he was laying out with these bodies? Like just chilling, putting them in bikinis and like.
I love that he dressed them up and put lipstick on them for his dinner parties.
That is so weird, dude. Yeah. I appreciate that so much. If you could give somebody any advice that's going through an autoimmune thing, because I know you kind of glossed over it a little bit, but that was a really tough time
in
your life.
It took me, I'm not gonna lie. It took me down and it took me to the point where I took guns away from myself. Like it really had me down. I mean it had me down.
How long did you go through it?
For about 6 months where I was like I was just existing.
Mm.
Because everything that I'd been able to do and that I loved all of a sudden just went away. Like I was still playing shows. I'd put my glasses on, close one eye. Mm-hmm. People would go, oh, Colt was great. He was drunk. I'm like, I don't even drink.
Yeah.
I mean, but I couldn't see. So my balance was terrible. My depth perception was terrible. I had to make sure they taped up the stage.
What a fucking soldier, though, to be going through this and still wanting to go out and just make people happy.
Like, yeah, I can't stop playing music because of this. What am I going to do, sit at home? Like, that shit, well, that ain't going to make me happy either. So I just wanted to work. So I played 100-plus shows like that. But
insane.
The doctor's like, you need tons of rest and no stress. And I'm like, well, that's just freaking great.
21-day
exactly
tour. Let's
how
go.
Do I do that and do what I do?
Yeah.
So I just kind of I just fought through it. But it was tough. No lie, man. Like, I leaned on some friends at times when I called mm-hmm. them up and be like, dude, I'm not doing good. Like, because what I loved to do on the road was play golf.
Right.
That was my escape from being on the road. I'd go play golf. All of a sudden, can't do that because I can't see. Mm-hmm. And then hunting and all the other stuff, like that me and Brantley, that I love to do. Can't do that. Can't see. Mm. And it was dangerous driving. And then it was just like, the doctor's like, oh, by the way, heat really affects it too. I'm like, awesome. So, you know, when I'm playing this festival and it's 97 degrees outside, like, I think last July we had 20 shows. I averaged 17 hours a day sleeping.
Wow.
It was all I could do. I mean, I would sleep, wake up at 4 o'clock, eat a couple bites of sandwich, go back to bed, wake up 30 minutes before the show, somehow run up on stage, play the show, and I'd be asleep before they loaded the truck. I mean, Megan knew I was in a tough place, and she loved me through it. She encouraged me when I don't want to be a pussy and cry on your show. I'm an emotional dude.
No,
but like,
that's good,
loved me through that and loved me to kept going, hang in there, come on, keep fighting. And got some medicine in the last couple months that has really made a difference. So I'm back where I can see, I can play golf again. So things are good.
Dude,
things are good.
You went through that because there was just a blessing in the lesson. And, you know, you have such a great attitude about everything else that maybe we don't know what the reason was. Bad shit happens to good people all the time. But
it does. No,
you're here to tell your story, and this story is going to touch so many people.
And
I've been reading your book, which we'll get into, Wild and Well.
Yep.
It's amazing. She has it on audio, and she also has it available to purchase everywhere.
Yes.
And it's just really crazy learning about just how trauma alone can affect your body, you know, which a lot of people don't realize. And you actually went through some traumas as a child.
Bunny, I grew up in a complete shithole of chaos, right? Mm-hmm. My grandfather, he died by suicide in the driveway of the house that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. My mom attempted suicide multiple times, institutionalized twice before I was born, and then was institutionalized when I was 6 weeks old for postpartum psychosis. My first stepfather was a child molester.
Mm.
The second one almost choked me unconscious my senior year in high school. And I started in high school with chronic diarrhea. I mean, just horrible diarrhea.
Was that
every time I ate?
Was that from living in fight or flight
you bet.
All the time?
Stress, you bet. Chronic diarrhea. I had the first of four colonoscopies at age 20. I had four colonoscopies before I was 44 years old. Mm. I was diagnosed with chronic itching, like urticaria, chronic itching. I was diagnosed with lupus, fibro. I was depressed. I was on every medicine known to man. And then, of course, diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome. And every single bit of that was caused from childhood trauma, the majority of it, and my diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent, 44 years seeing doctors, 10 doctors. But I was 38 years old, and I remember the morning that I was going to die by suicide. I had it planned. I was going to drive off the foot of Broadway. And I talk about it in the book, it's hard to talk about, but I was going to die that morning. And I was literally was laying in bed ready to fulfill the family legacy sort of thing. And all of a sudden through the bedroom door, Jackson and Ella came running in. They were like 5 and 6 years old. And they were like, mom, get up. And I mean, they jumped on the bed. They wanted to eat. And
Jackson and Ella are her children.
They are. They're my kids. Yes. And they're now 25 and 27.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved my life that day. I got up and I was in a verbally and emotionally abusive marriage. I was not physically abusive, but I filed for divorce less than a year later. I was on food stamps, a medical card. Mm-hmm. We packed up a 26-foot U-Haul I got accepted to nurse practitioner school down here. I already had a degree in fashion design, made a 180 turn to go to nursing school. And a hermit crab, a cat, an English bulldog, Harlan Howard, two kids. And we started over 17 years ago. Mm. And
let's rewind
out of school.
Let's rewind it a little bit, because there's a lot of people that listen to my podcast that have grown up with fucked up childhoods and are so traumatized. So,
I want people that to stay with people that actually are dealing with a lot of like health issues that one trauma causes a lot of them. Do you think it causes most of them?
I believe so. Yes. Yeah. And you know, the body keeps score.
Absolutely.
You've read the book, mm-hmm. Dr. Vessel Vanderkalk.
Vanderkalk.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That book.
It's my ADD.
That
book. Okay. Yeah. Like let's go have a blast. And if
an embarrassing moment you had with a man.
Ooh, I have one, and I don't do it anymore. That shit scarred me. Butt plugs.
Oh.
Not a good time in a white duvet.
Oh. Do tell.
This shit haunts me till I can't do it. Anyway, there's nothing worse than experimenting and everything. Mm-hmm. You're comfortable with the guy, and you have a nice $500 white duvet, and then shit, literally shit. Just
okay,
goes
he wearing the butt plug, or were you? Oh no, you had a shitty time.
Yeah, and he pulled
Damn it.
It. He pulled it out. I was like, oh my god, it started smelling.
Oh no, Tims.
What did he do? I've never told that story.
What did he do? Oh, I got a funny story too. But what did he do?
I think he noticed because there was like a stench
and aroma of dookie.
And like he just hopped. Once I saw the sheets and everything, I quickly like folded up the duvet and sprayed for Febreze.
Oh fuck. Oh my god, that is hilarious. So a butt plug, you know how they're shaped, right?
He pulled it out and it was on the butt plug.
Gotcha. Mm. Holy.
It looked like it. Like,
well, I got one that'll make you feel better. It wasn't me personally, and I'm looking for the
video. That does not make me feel better. It wasn't you personally, but I just told.
Hold on. I've got the video to prove this. We all know there are things in life you have to compromise on, like going out instead of staying in or eating fast food instead of cooking at home. But when it comes to your health, there is no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who uses your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or they take your slightly sketchy insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist, and these docs all have verified reviews from actual real patients. I know the next time I need a doctor, I'm definitely logging on to ZocDoc. Go to ZocDoc.com/bunny, BUNNIE, and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/bunny, BUNNIE, ZocDoc.com/bunny.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So whose video is this and how did you...
All right, well, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. So I've never told this story anywhere before.
Oh, I feel intrigued.
I had this sugar daddy who we adoringly nicknamed Shitter. And after this situation, so I was there with my girl. We were making so much fucking money. I'm talking like we probably made like 30 grand each that night, whatever. And he was doing lines of cocaine off her ass, off my ass. We were doing a bunch of blow. Of course, this was like fucking 8 years ago, dude. We were fucking just partying it up. Jay was in Nashville. This is when Jay and I first got together. Jay was in Nashville doing something, and I was like telling him what was going on, you know. This dude, we were in a hotel room that had white sheets. He's completely naked and he's just snorting lines on the fucking bed. And then he scoots up. And when he scoots up, he leaves a fucking trail of shit. Just fucking. And we lost it, dude. All there was just shit on the fucking. On the duvet. So here's a video of him doing
a lot. That video from 8 years ago?
Yes. We kept saying shit because he was shitting. So he's snorting a line off her ass, right? I cannot believe I'm showing you guys this. He's snorting a line.
Is that your Snapchat?
Snorting a line off her ass, right? There's his butthole. Because there was shit coming off of it. And then hold on. Hold on. There's the sheet that has the shit stain on it.
That's what my duvet looked like.
So I'm so fucked up, and all we kept talking about was shit because he fucking kept leaving shit everywhere. So yeah.
So you told me your shitter story. Yes. The sugar daddy shitter.
Yep.
I told you my first butt plug experience.
There we go, baby. It's a fucking shitty situation all around.
Oh, I've got horrendous grinder stories. Oh my God. Where do give I me start?
One. Oh, give me the best one.
The best one. Okay. Let me wipe my nose. It's running.
Sorry.
Okay. I'll tell you the best one. There's two.
But, all right, let's hear them.
Okay, so the first one was my very first hookup ever.
Yeah.
My wife and I are still together. She's still living at the house.
Which we'll get into in a little bit.
Yeah, we had freed ourselves to see other people. As long as we didn't bring back the house at that time, we're like, everything's good. And so I'm out with my friend Jocelyn, who is another trans woman.
Mm.
We're at this little wine bar, and I'm just like, girl, I need to just fuck a guy and get it over with. Mm. And she goes, get on Grindr. I'm like, what's Grindr? And she goes, looks at me like, what do you mean, what's Grindr? And I'm like, I don't know. I've been married for 20 years. I haven't dated. I don't know what's going on. She goes, give me your phone. And so she created an account for me. And this is before anything was happening where I was like very public about me dating other people. I'm like, nobody can know. She's got a fake profile. No problem. And in 5 minutes, she's got a guy on the hook. And she's like, oh, I fucked him. He's awesome. He's good. She's like, she's got a big old dick. He's safe. He's 6 foot. Oh, this is perfect.
I love her.
Is that a good thing he's got a big dick? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, I don't know. This is like, I've never been with a guy. I've kissed a guy once. And then that was post-transition.
So this was your first. So, okay, let's stop you right there. Mm-hmm. So all through high school, WWE, you had never been with a dude.
No, and no desire to.
No desire to.
Oh, I thought, like the thought of being with the guy, I'm going to open this.
Yeah, go ahead, baby.
Water here. The thought of being with a guy pre-transition, I wanted to throw up at the thought of it. Yeah, and I wrestled dudes in boots and underwear, and I'm just like, bro, you stink. Go put on some deodorant. You know, something like that, but never like, you know, we do some weird shit in wrestling.
Yeah.
Where our heads are in weird places, but never once was it like, huh.
Never attracted to men until after you decided to start transitioning.
Never once.
I cannot wait to dive into that. That's amazing.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah. Let me tell you. So we run home and I tell Priscilla, I go, look, Jocelyn got me this hookup. She goes, oh my God, tell me about it. Let me see him. So she's all excited.
I love that.
And her and Jocelyn are looking at this guy like, damn, he's hot. And he's really big and built. And so I go shower and I come out with like all these outfits and they look at me and Jocelyn goes, girl, no, this is a hookup. Don't get dressed up for him. I'm like, what? Really? She goes, yeah, go put on some shorts and a tank top. Like, oh, okay. So I put on these like little tiny trash shorts and a tank top.
We love trash.
Yeah. I was told the stories are going to blow your mind. Speaking of trash. So I go drive out and I meet this guy. I've got like minimal makeup on. It was back when I was still wearing wigs, pre-facial surgery. And I'm, you know, 220 something pounds of muscle still. And I knock on this guy's door. It's his apartment. And he is handsome.
Aww.
Like, handsome. I'm like, ooh, stunning blue eyes, shaved head, bodybuilder.
Just
I'm
hot.
Like, wow. And he gives me a hug. And he's like, hey. I'm like, hi. And he just starts walking to the bedroom. And I go, oh.
Let's get to the point.
Okay, this is what we do. Cool. I guess we just go in there. And he sits down. He's kind of just making some chit-chat. And he starts undoing his shoes. And I'm like, okay, I start undoing my strappy heels that I'm wearing. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's what we do. And I go, look. My girlfriend said not to say this. But I got to be honest. I've never been with a guy before. And he looks at me and he goes, what? I said, yeah, I've never been with a guy before. And he goes, wow, okay. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you something. You were honest with me, I'll be honest with you. He says, I've only been with one trans woman. And I go, oh my God, it must have been Jocelyn. Because, you know, she fucked him, you know, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And he goes, it was like 2-3 years ago. And I looked at him like, what? Oh, you're lying to me. Okay, you're hot. I don't care. So that was at that moment I go, okay, guys lie all the time. He's totally lying to me. Yeah. He wants us to go down. I don't give a shit. And so we kind of are like getting things undone. And I look at him like, hey, I don't even know your name. And he goes, do you want to? I looked at him. I said, nah. And I just took my shirt off. I took my pants off. Let's go. So we get down to business and things are going my direction. I'm like, this is good. And
in that, can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah.
In that moment, do you decide to be a top or a bottom, or how does that, or did he decide for you?
So my desire is always to be a bottom. I wanted the female experience.
I think Hef was more resentful when I left and when Bridget left, because I think he expected me and wanted me to stay around the whole time. And I think when Kendra came along, everybody knew she wasn't going to stay that long and she'd be there for a couple of years. So if she wanted to leave and like become this star who's still kind of controlled by this guy who's keeping her loyal to the Playboy narrative, like that was great.
Right.
But I think Hef held a lot of resentment when I left, because I left from his perspective so suddenly. Like anybody else looking at the situation would not think it's sudden because right. they've been going through so much. But I think in his mind, he was like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Do you think Hef genuinely loved you?
Maybe as much as he could love somebody. Right. But his idea of love is so weird.
Warped,
narcissistic. I think I talk about him in present tense, which is so weird. People point that out, that I do that on my podcast, and it's weird. Anyway, so I feel like he was really addicted to like the feeling of longing. Mm. So he always wanted like more, more, more. And he always wanted to, like, if he had a girlfriend who left, he always wanted to win that girl back.
Right.
It was more like addicted to the conflict. Kind to of the a chaos. Thing.
Yeah.
Addicted to the drama. And that's why he always wanted to pit girls against each other and things like that.
Right.
Which I hate. I don't want drama in a relationship. There's too much drama in the real world. I want my relationship to be like,
it has to be your peace.
Bubble. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So being in a relationship like that, are you open to like open relationships now, or like
the opposite? Like,
she's like, hell no.
I'm scarred.
She's like, absolutely not. I am the only one and that's it.
Yeah. I respect would flip it. Out. Like even if I'm like watching a porn and I think like a threesome scene is hot or something, I feel like if I was in that situation in real life, I would snap and like decapitate someone.
Yeah. Aw, I love that though. Don't mess with Holly's man, yeah. baby. So let's talk about something else that you enjoy, makeup. Do you still enjoy makeup?
I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And skincare now too.
Obsessed.
Talk the to older me about
we get.
It. Yeah.
I've always loved skincare. Mm-hmm. I used to tell people as young as 15, don't move your face.
Right. Yeah.
Which was always my thing.
That's why I'm frozen.
Now as I get older, I don't care. Yeah. I dissolved all my filler and I'm just kind of living a more free life. Mm-hmm. But I'm still me. I'm still Jeffrey fucking Star.
Do you do Botox or anything?
I haven't in 2 years.
Wow. It looks amazing though.
Yeah.
I have to have it. I can't. When I start getting the wrinkles in the forehead, I freak out.
I do have more wrinkles. I'm not embracing them. Maybe they'll go away this winter.
You look great though.
Thank you. Yeah. But I'm just doing a little more. Like my lips were too crazy, so I dissolved a lot. And you know, when things start to migrate, and
I look like fucking Marge Simpson.
So I had to tone it down for me. Like below my nose was getting weird.
No, your face is perfect. You look beautiful.
So I had to tone it down a notch for me.
Yeah. But we always do things for us, not for anybody else.
But I always go extreme.
Yeah, for sure. So you started the makeup brand in 2014.
I launched 3 liquid lips on Black Friday.
And you were looking for an investor. Akon was going to invest, but he couldn't.
He was out. Let's hit up my best friend of 12 years, Kat Von D. She's down. She shows me a makeup lab and I start doing my formula. She literally gives me a sample with a name of the lab. I call it, do all the work. When she tried to destroy my career online, which flopped and backfired, she said she did everything. It was the biggest insult I think I've ever felt in my entire life. Because I did everything.
Yeah, it's always hurtful when a friendship breaks up. It's like worse than a divorce.
And publicly, for the very first time, because I had not really done online drama, then after that, as bigger as things got, it was a bloodbath.
I feel like people just come for you just to be.
Yes.
At this
they
point.
Used to all the time just to get attention. But it was my first big taste of the internet flipping.
Right.
Without knowing any facts.
Oh, they don't care.
And then days later, if I recall, they all flip back and realize it was all full of shit.
Yeah, they don't care.
But it was so hurtful for someone to say, I created his brand. It was like, but it was believable that was the problem. And now no one.
Because she was a little bit bigger than you back
absolutely.
Then.
Absolutely.
Right, because she had that LA or whatever.
And she liked having more money than me, and she liked being the friend that had more. So when I surpassed her, she flipped on me. 12-year friendship. She's tattooed my whole body, 50 portraits.
Would you guys ever be friends again?
No.
He just, because of you?
Because of the way I was treated, I can never, forgiving is fine when you get older. You can never go back to someone that stabbed you that hard.
Well, you can forgive, but not forget.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was one of the most painful things I've gone through.
Do you think maybe she's grown a lot since being a wife? And I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that now that I've really helped myself, I don't lurk. So right. Like the old days, I would care what everyone's doing. It's right. So unhealthy.
It is.
Who gives a fuck toxic. What they're doing?
I need to stop doing that.
I don't read the news. I don't know what's happening anymore. I don't care who's fucking who. What's this? Who did this? Who? I just don't care. It's so unhealthy.
You just get to a point of just serenity. Yes.
But when you're in the same world, yes, you're told she has a kid now. Mm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Insane that shit. That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
And when you say also like I hate children and then you have one, anyone's allowed to change their mind. Yeah, obviously. I've grown a lot. It was wild to see someone become a parent.
Right.
So hopefully it softened makes them her. Nicer.
I feel like Trisha Paytas having a kid has helped her grow a little bit too, you know?
Absolutely.
So I feel like I don't know. I've never had my own child, so I wouldn't know. But I feel like children soften women too. So, you know, you never know. Never say never. Maybe you guys will cross paths somewhere down the road and be able to,
you know. Me and Trisha, maybe.
Yeah.
Trisha just did. She did me and Jay wrong and made up a whole drama.
Yeah.
And then had a kid.
Trisha actually flaked on me yesterday. I came off tour to fucking do her podcast with her. Well, to do her podcast and her come on my podcast. And she texted me an hour before she was supposed to show up that she wasn't coming.
That's so unprofessional.
I know. But fucked. I'm just, you know, it is what it is. And everything.
Well, I normally don't talk about drama because the old Jeffrey, people just think things so differently than who I am.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stray away from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't like feeding into these things.
No, never.
But she did me really wrong. She made up all these lies, said I fat shamed her and called her all these things. Never happened.
Right.
Never happened. And then she gets in a fight.
Yeah. What a moment.
Yeah. You have that one moment and you're like, yo, I got to shoot this. This is my shot. I got to fire.
Shoot my shot. Yeah.
I got to fire. This is it. You know what I'm saying? I was given exactly 60 seconds to say something. I didn't think I was going to win. So I knew this was my only time to talk. I was thinking, how can I thank the most important people the quickest? Thank the other nominees, of course, who I thought were so deserving, and especially Zach, because it was really important for me to make a point to give Zach his flowers on that stage. And what can I say to make somebody feel like they're not alone? That's literally what was rushing through my head. Like, what can I say that can inspire somebody that is like, I'm thinking about the 25-year-old that's like, dude, this is never going to work. And it's like, dude, you're so far away from this knot. You have no clue. Like, if I'd have gave up at 27, I wouldn't be sitting here winning this award. And 2 days later, I'd wake up and be nominated for a Grammy.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And I thought about quitting at 27, 28, 29.
Somebody said, damn, I realized I haven't been to church in a while.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that your, you know, 15-second speech could really touch and move people the way that it has.
It wasn't meant to be as like pastory as it was.
You can't help it though. That's, you get like that even at home. Like when you're like talking that. About stuff, you just are so like, that's you. That is
Listen.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody that knew me would say that eventually. Because I think sometimes people are like, is this like, this dude selling us something? It's like, oh, you've never been around me.
No, you are the most boisterous, fucking animated human. Like, you
when I'm really fired up.
Dare I say it? You're the coolest thing that's happened at the CMAs in a really long fucking time.
It's literally tens of millions of views.
Yeah. No, it's insanity.
Like over 50
dude.
Or something is what I've seen.
I mean, you have made it on every platform. Twitter is always in a division. That's probably one of the hardest platforms. And they said that you united Twitter.
Yeah.
For one day.
They said Twitter was united for a day.
Because,
until he brought Twitter together.
Yeah.
They said me and Rod Wave could do a song and end racism.
Literally.
Aw. Hi, Grandma. So until my grandpa died, and then now they're all still doing it, and I'm the one that decided to stand with my kids. But yeah, so just for now. And then, so I guess I started doing the corner call stuff and ended up realizing that I actually really liked it.
What does a corner call consist of?
So a corner call is really the horrible deaths. So it's the drug overdoses, the suicides, homicides, car accidents, very sudden death that would require an autopsy. Mm. So I did all those calls, and I went and worked for my dad for the summer. And then I started community college that following fall and just told my dad I wanted to do this.
So I bet dad was elated.
Very, very excited.
Aww.
And
isn't it crazy how life's full circle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom thought I was crazy to go work for my dad.
Oh, damn it, mom, relax. This is her life.
And so she's like, well, you're going to have to figure it out on your own. So I did. The rest is kind of history. But when my cousin took his life, I didn't see myself. I really got depressed again myself. I missed him. I couldn't believe he made that decision. I couldn't believe he was gone. And I went to school. I hated it. Switched, started thinking about going and helping other people that have lost a loved one. And you'll find that a lot of morticians, funeral directors, that we get into this industry for that reason, because mm-hmm. we have lost someone that we love so much, and it's healing for us to help somebody else.
I actually wanted to be a mortician.
Really?
Yes, I did. And I looked into it. Vegas didn't offer a lot of schooling for that. And the reason why I wanted to get into it was because I have such a fear of death. And I was like, I'm the type of person, like, if I fear something, I want to face it head on. So I was like, you know, if I could get into this industry, then I would be able to conquer my fear of death. And of course, it never worked out that way because, you know, again, Vegas didn't have the schooling that they probably have now back when I wanted to do it. But I've always been fascinated with death and like all things, you know, just dark and like, I don't want to say sinister, but just like that. You're right, dude. I have always had a fascination with all of those things. So I just, you know, it was very fitting for me to want to do that. But then I decided to be a stripper, and here we are.
I wanted to do hair.
Yeah.
And I have before. I've gone to a funeral home mm-hmm. for a client that passed away and did her hair. But I wanted to do that so bad. But mm-hmm. my parents were like, no, it's like a family. Like, a lot of funeral homes are very family based. So mm-hmm. like to yeah. get in and to get paid well is very hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Funeral homes are hard to get into. I have a lot of people that message and say, oh, I want to do just the makeup, or I just want to do the hair. And unfortunately, we don't hire people just for that. Just
like right. Yeah.
It's a trust thing. But then also funeral homes are cheap, and they'd rather just have mm-hmm. the funeral directors do that. Yeah. So they don't have to pay somebody extra, unless the family does request to have somebody specific come in to do the hair.
It's crazy to hear you say funeral homes are cheap, like in that aspect, because death is expensive. It is fucking, like, I had a private autopsy for my mom last year because I thought she was overdosed in her hospital. And I had her cremated afterwards, and it's expensive. And that's not even a whole funeral. Like, I looked into funerals for her because, you know, they wanted her to have a funeral in Indiana for the two people who would have showed up, and it was still freaking expensive. I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I'm in the wrong business.
There's the ethic part of all of this is just, I mean, beyond me. Like, the one
ethics.
Yeah, the one time I did hair for someone who had passed, that still sticks with me to this day. And to think how many she did over that 10-year span, and you had them coming in all day, every day. That's like, how busy
is a won't touch home? Dead bodies. Last time I touched, I wouldn't even touch my mom when she passed, and I was in the room she was dead. I was able to say my goodbyes to her in the hospital. I wouldn't touch her, because the last time I touched a dead body, I ended up with the worst suicidal ideation I've ever had. Of course, it was the same time around a bunch of shit that had been happening, but I went to a funeral and touched my friend's chest and told him that I loved him. And I'm telling you, I battled with suicidal ideation for almost a year or 2 years after that.
Honestly, it's like 2 years.
Yeah, it was a good 2 years, and I will never touch a dead body again. So I can't imagine how this woman is touching all these dead bodies and just the karma that she has reaped for herself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to know, so when you put your hand, we got into my trauma. So when you put your hand on their chest, is it just because it's cold? Is it just because it didn't feel like how you thought it was going to feel? Is that why it triggered you when you...
No, I have energy. Always been able to see spirits. I've always been able to feel things. I've always been able... So this was a friend who was violently killed.
Oh my gosh.
And I think what happened was whatever he was into that caused that situation to happen latched onto me, the dark entity that was following him. Because I lovingly went down on his chest and I was like, I love you so much, like that. And I swear right then I could feel him in the funeral room, and the whole, he was watching the funeral from the corner of the mm-hmm. room. Like, and I told my mm-hmm. husband that, I was like, Chisel's here. I was like, he's watching this entire funeral. And I just went home and literally it was like immediately just depression. And like, I mean, I'm talking like, Lauren, when I tell you it, I told Jay the best way to describe it. And like I said, I was going through a lot of other shit at the time too. I had just lost it. I just had a miscarriage. I had just had my breast implants removed. So, I mean, there's a number of factors, but this all ties into each other. So it's like, I'll never touch a dead body again because of that. But it was like eternal sadness. Oh. It was like he was showing me, like, this is how sad I am. I want you to feel how sad I am, you know? It was just the worst feeling. Like, I was so tired that the thought of living to 50 exhausted me.
So how did you come out of that? Did you...
I'm a fighter.
Did
I'm
you
never...
banish that those that away? Like, that...
I prayed. Jesus is literally the only thing that probably pulled me out of that. And it took a good almost 2 years. I talk about it a lot on the podcast, you know, because I went through it. But Jesus, exercise, will to live, will to not let the darkness win. You know, when you get that low, you just get to a point where you're like, me personally gets to a point where I'm like, I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not these thoughts, this darkness, this isn't me. Like I love light, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with dark things. I'm curious about them, mm-hmm. but I don't want that to be in me, you mm-hmm. know? So it was just a fight. It literally was, I fought for my life for 2 straight years of just, Mimi saw it. I went through hell. It was crazy. But yeah, so that's why I'll never touch a dead body. So this lady, I don't know how she fucking has touched and done the dead so wrong. I mean, obviously she's getting her karma now, but spiritually we're in spiritual warfare 24/7.
I was like, I love a trashy bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Like literally, I was just like, don't worry, I got you.
I was like, you want Marlboro?
Like, yes.
She's like, you see my car, you should see my pussy. So you guys go back to your place and what happens there?
We made a pot of coffee and then we have a similar artist that we love, Orville Peck. We danced and then we kissed.
So,
then you know where things went from there.
Right.
This one, oh my God. It's like sometimes I have to wear a chastity belt around her. It's really bad. Like,
she's horny.
Yeah.
That's horny. Good.
I don't even know if that's the word. It's feral.
She's she's Pisces. She's a Pisces. Yeah. I'm a Pisces Venus. I'm feral too. Yeah. Like insatiable appetite for sex. Like literally, like bad. The Rob Zombie song.
I know.
Swear to God. Like it's just, you can't stop it.
And like I'm sure on the first date it was like 15 times.
Good Lord. And you kept up?
Yes.
Lou.
I just got out the military. I still had the stamina. I didn't have the No, I'm good.
Lou is the man.
I know.
I love that.
It was wild. I was like, you know what? You respect women. You're f***ing like no other.
Yeah.
I'm like, check, 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 check.
Can we talk about that relationship? I don't want to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's do
cool.
it.
Found out that he was cheating.
Yeah.
With...
Basically, that started in 2014.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. And
so you guys were together for a long time. Yeah. This just wasn't a flash in the pan.
No, it was 7 years. We moved to Orlando. I don't know. Things just started getting weird whenever I started doing TikTok. I remember one day I was walking by his gaming room. He was a gamer. Red flag, by the way. And I heard a girl's voice and I was like, okay, that's weird. But like, I'm not the jealous type. The way he was talking to her was like the way that he would talk to me. That flirty, whatever vibe.
And he's just doing this with you in the house?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know. So I talked to him about it and I was like, I feel uncomfortable the way you were talking to her. It's not that you were talking to her, it's just the way. So he was like, okay, like I won't talk to her anymore if it makes you uncomfortable. And I was like, cool. A year goes by, I walk by his room again and I hear the same girl.
So he never talks to her again in front of you?
But I don't know.
Right.
Is he would check in on me at night, make sure I was asleep, and then go talk to her. I would pretend to sleep. I would get up, go to the door, and hear him talking to her.
disrespect, but the restraint that you have, dude. Yeah. I would have fucking flown through that door so fast.
I know it was hard, but like I felt so stuck because I was like, this is like most of my life and into this person. I don't know myself.
Seems to be a theme of you in your life, peeking behind the door, watching.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's a good point. Wow.
We got one stoplight and a dollar store. Very small town in Eastern Kentucky.
I'm from the city and I never knew what, like, I knew what Dollar Generals were, but I didn't know the meaning really behind them of like how much the South really relies on those until I moved out here to Nashville. And I was like, holy shit, you guys really have like a thing for the Dollar Generals. Like,
if there's nothing else in a small town, there's probably going to be a Dollar General somewhere.
It's like a town mascot, like just Dollar General, the town mascot. So growing up in a small town, what is that like? Are you thankful for growing up in a small town?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love where I come from. I mean, I grew up on a backer farm. My grandparents had a backer farm, and I stayed with them a lot. And, you know, we farmed everything, like corn, beans, tomatoes, potatoes. We canned everything. You know, it was really just that country life. And I'm super thankful that I got brought up like that. You know, it was go outside and play, take your cousin, you know, go up the creek, and we'd kill snakes. It's just a good way to, I think, be brought up like that. And I couldn't imagine anything else. I really got my chops up. It helped me learn how to interact with the crowd, and because, you know, if you're not interacting with the crowd, you're not getting tips.
Yeah,
if you're not getting tips, you're not paying the rent, you know.
I feel like that's like literally the best schooling that you could get, like before you like actually go on tour and like have to deal with huge crowds and stuff like that. Like working in the bars on Broadway especially just probably like really showed you. Oh,
and people are ruthless too. You know, it's like they're in your face screaming wagon wheel like 2 hours a day. And I'm just like, okay. So eventually from there,
What was your most requested song?
Wagon Wheel.
Lord. But I thought it would be Journey. Don't Stop Believing.
I would get that one sometimes.
Yeah.
Someone paid me like $100 for Freebird one time.
Oh God, the longest song in America.
I was like, all right, if you want all 10 minutes of it, I'll give it to you, baby. We can do it. The other one that I would, Margaritaville, because I played at Margaritaville.
Right, in Margaritaville.
So it was like salt all day long.
Just dealing with drunk people all day long too. Can we normalize people not wanting children? You know, just to interject. I hate like people ask me and Jay all the time. They're like, are you guys ever going to have kids? And I'm like, no, I don't fucking want kids. Like I don't want to inflict the trauma that my fucking family did on me. Like I don't want to be responsible for that.
I don't think you would do that, but I definitely don't want
Not them. Now, but if I had to shit one out when I was 18, imagine that kid would be fucked up right now.
Well, that's kind of where I was at. But to be fair, I did detox solely for the fact that I was so some points there.
Yeah.
A lot of women can't do a lot of people, drug addicts don't do that. But yeah, so you know, that's why I got sober. And then I was like, oh, I can't tell anyone I relapsed. Like, that's embarrassing. Like, after all that, you know? So I was going through the whole, you know, liar addict shit. The house was filthy. It was pretty gross. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a bit of a slob naturally because my father was like, I grew up like with a slob. You know what I mean? Like, and it's not even any shade. It's like, the man would like piss in Gatorade bottles and like throw them in the backseat of the car.
Oh, so you were married to Jay. Yeah. All right. So your dad was Jay. Sorry.
Yeah. No, totally reminds me of him a lot. But
Dude will piss in a bathtub. And the toilet's literally right next to him. And I'm like, can you not? He pissed all over my hair extensions? I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, go to the fucking bathroom, you hobo.
Yeah, that was definitely, and that's kind of how like I am, like naturally I'm kind of sloppy, you know what I mean? Like I'll just have my whole nightstand just, and I'll like put like the last piece of trash to let it like, you know what I mean, like make sure it doesn't fall, you know. But so I got better about that, but I'm still kind of like that. But this was like a whole nother level, because if you're already not a clean person and then you become a junkie, I mean, it's like, it's pretty bad.
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, there were moments where, you know, like I smoked what I thought was heroin off the floor. And I would like sell them.
To maintain your lifestyle.
Yeah, when it came to like stripping, they would just be like, I'd be like, hey, you want to dance? Oh, no? All right. I would make $100, bitch, like at the club. Like it was bad. And I was only like 19. Like there was a problem.
Right.
But once I started dancing, it was like they were at my, you know, at my will, you know. It's like, I'm the only stripper you got, you better pay me,
right?
It worked out really well because I didn't have to hustle. But yeah, so that all transpired. And then I met a girl. We ended up, you know, hitting it off. I was like dating a girl while I was with this guy, and she was a heroin addict. And I ended up being sick one time and I just had to like not be sick. And she was like, oh, I don't want to give you.
How many pills were you taking a day?
The first round, I was taking 40 pills a day. But
God,
Norcos, and then doing like probably about a gram of coke a day.
Mm.
But I got clean and then I went and relapsed again.
Wow.
And then I was doing less.
40 pills a day. I couldn't, I would just get sick. So the most I could do was like two or three a day. And that was my addiction. But 40 pills, no wonder you couldn't shit.
Right. So I did make it.
Is that a challenge? Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I ended up at the sober living upstairs. I manage the sober living, which is basically you just log people in and out. It's not really managing it, but I was like in charge. So I was actually trusted, which was new. Got a little car.
Because where's your boyfriend at this time? Still in rehab?
Oh yeah, that guy.
Just like I was making out with the dudes.
Because I was, I was so on another level. And it was funny because we dropped him off at rehab before we went to take me. And me and him were making out in the lobby. I had vomit in my hair and he was just like, I love you. And I was like, yeah, you know, like this whole thing. And then like I got to rehab and I was devastated. All I talked about, I love him. He's the love of my life and all this shit. And the second like we hung out and I was sober and like I was just like, he would do weird shit.
He gave
like,
you the ick.
Yeah. And it was messing with me because poor thing, he really did love me. You know what I mean? And he was like, everything was fine. He didn't change. You know what I mean? Like, but I was just like, I didn't feel it at all anymore. Like,
well, the veil was lifted.
Yeah. I was like, I never had fallen in love with him. I knew I wasn't, even when we first started dating, I knew he was just pretty and he was fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? And he was wild like me, but I was like, with the drugs, you think you're in love. You know what I mean? So I was like back to that where I'm like, I don't want to have sex with you.
Good times. I love that. So, yeah. All right. We have, who did you model Trailer Trash Tammy after?
Yeah, Charlize Theron from the movie Monster.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
So it's only fitting that we cover, how do I pronounce her last name? Eileen Wuornos?
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
I watched Monster last night.
Oh.
It's an amazing movie.
It is an amazing movie. First off, did you kind of sense the Tammy mannerisms?
Yes. Oh, when she flicked her hair at the end when they were carrying her out to the cop car to bring her to jail. I was like, there it is.
Yep.
That'll do it. Yeah, no, for sure. I watched the movie last night and I have been researching her story the past few days. And I have to say the empath in me has so much empathy for her because of all the trauma that this woman went through. Mm-hmm. It's like, I understand why she did what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Men fucking suck, dude.
She didn't have a good start.
No.
From day one.
At all. So let's hop into it. And we're going to talk about Eileen Wuornos today and go down that rabbit hole because, you know, what she did was wrong. Absolutely. You know, we can't justify that. But at the same time, it's like, damn. Once you hear her story, it's almost like you can like understand why she was the way she was.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
I think she's the most loved serial killer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was amazing because her nicknames are the Damsel of Death and America's First Female Serial Killer.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, what a title, bitch. Mm-hmm. Go bitch, go. Right. So Eileen was born. She was a Pisces. She was born in Rochester, Michigan on February 29th. And from late 1989 through the late 1990s, the bodies of seven middle-aged white men were discovered in Central Florida. The assailant had robbed all of the victims before shooting them to death and stealing their cars. I mean, listen, at least she didn't, you know, like decapitate them and shit, you know, that's what I'm thinking. Like, she at least, it was a clean getaway. Yeah. It sounded like she was robbing him, right? You know, not justifying it, but just saying. Just saying. Why don't you kick it off, Mimi, with her childhood so we can get into it?
I really dove deep into her childhood. This is like, I love to know like where people stem from. And her dad alone, like, the girl didn't even start with good genes.
No.
Like, she had sick, demented parents. Her parents were awful.
Generational trauma.
Yeah. Leo was the father, and he served time in Kansas and Michigan mental hospitals and later committed suicide. He was in prison for child molestation and kidnapping of a 7-year-old.
Damn.
So you could only imagine what he was doing to her and their siblings.
Exactly. Well, no, he wasn't around when she was pregnant. When she was born, he was already put away.
Oh, he was already put away. Yes. Okay, gotcha.
But the mother was 14 years old. So Diane was 14 years old when she got with Leo, right? And Leo was 18. So you're an 18-year-old sleeping with a 14-year-old and knocks her up and has two kids with her.
Mm.
She did later on leave. She was she had her first child at 15, and she abandoned both of her children, which were Keith and Eileen, and they were left with their grandparents, which those were just as fucked up as the parents were. So I'm telling, generational trauma at this point.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Generational trauma.
She already got a fucking dealt a shitty hand.
Someone wants to know our take on aliens.
I believe they're real.
Mm-hmm. I think they probably left this bitch because they saw how ghetto it was.
I saw a UFO because I grew up in Vegas. I saw a UFO when I was a little girl. We were driving on the freeway, I-15. I looked up in the fucking sky. There was a huge, it was black, huge black, like.
Was it like what you think of a sphere, or was it just a shape? Or
it looked like almost like a fighter jet, but bigger.
Okay.
But it wasn't a fighter jet, because this motherfucker, literally, I was like, hey, what is that in the sky? Talking to my parents. And it fucking went like, it did a zigzag like this. And then whoosh, I'm talking like took off like into, you couldn't see it anymore. It was the craziest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And you still remember it so vividly.
Oh, absolutely. But Vegas is also very close to Area 51.
Yeah.
So we've always had like alien activity and like weird shit out there.
That's
so
crazy. I definitely fully believe in it. I feel like also I slightly believe in the fact that like a lot of like alien stuff that we see is also future.
Yeah.
You know, like people coming back, like time travel.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me in like 3,000 years there's not time travel.
Yeah,
it's just, yeah, that kind of thing. I also feel like shooting stars are aliens, just saying.
Don't ruin my vibe of wishing on a shooting star.
Fucking Roger.
That if a shooting star is an alien, then what's a comet?
I'm just saying, I think shooting stars are,
I did see one in Hendersonville one time. It was green, and it like, it was like a flash of light. Then it like spiraled down and then disappeared. And I was on the phone with my dad.
I love that. He remembers it too. I love shooting stars. Those are my favorite.
No, that didn't look like a shooting star. No, that looked like some type of alien shit. It was not a shooting star.
I got a shooting star in my wazoo.
I knew it was something, something with your asshole.
Is a wazoo an asshole or a vagina?
Vagina.
Oh.
New meaning.
Yeah.
Do you want to get creepy?
Yes.
Can I tell you a couple creepy stories? People really like me when I talk about health.
I think it's because everybody's fucking scared of it. So it's like a morbid curiosity.
It's going to get a little creepy. So I'm sorry. I will forever remember this, having sessions with this one woman. So I go through and I begin channeling him. And then all of a sudden I smelled booze. And then I start hearing, and I'm like, there's a guy here. He's kind of like laughing. I said, he may be an alcoholic. She goes, he was. Mm. Men dress shoes, like walking on a wood floor. Mm. Click, click, click. And I get a vision of this guy. He makes my vision go to like his crotch area. He's walking around. Everything is like black around him. So it's like if there'd be a spotlight on him. And then he shows me this image of him really quickly putting his hand like over a little girl with her about right here, and he was like, and the bitch liked it. Aww. And she still does. This little girl was my client.
Oh my God.
How do you say that? So I looked at her. I go, so this is your dad, right? She goes, yeah. Did he sexually assault you? Every day, me and my sister until I was 18. And I said, and he smoked cigarettes. She goes, yeah, he smoked and drank all the time. And he goes, yeah, and I never got caught for it. And he starts laughing like, ha, 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 right? And she goes, the day before he was sentenced, he hung himself.
Oh my gosh.
He never got caught.
If you could spend a day with one person from history just to pick their brain and be in their presence, dead or alive, who would it be?
Does it have to be a day, or can it just be an hour? Because my love tank is on E.
You got 1 hour to spend it with anyone at any time, any dead or alive person.
Probably Jesus.
Damn, that was a good one.
Yeah, or God. Like, if I could ever get to him.
Wow.
Just, like, pick their brain. Just be like, what? Is this shit real? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, what a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't go there. My brain went in every possible direction.
She said, yeah, I didn't go there.
I went for like Elvis.
You're making my smoker's cough come back.
Oh, God.
I have one last very serious question.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Okay, final.
This will do it, okay? It's very serious. Are you ready? This is for you, Bunny.
Yes.
Is your Christmas tree up yet?
Not yet, because we are moving into our new house. So as soon as we move into the new house, it will be put up in between the 15th and the 23rd. Don't you fucking worry, motherfuckers. I am on it. Okay?
Are we doing the Christmas tree competition this year?
Every year we have a Christmas tree competition that I win, that my husband swears he does. And we're going to, listen, baby, it's a tradition.
Do you think he's going to pull out all the stops this year?
He never pulls out the stops. He hires, let me tell you, my husband hires people to do his work. When you see him hanging ornaments, it's because I'm like, hey, babe, hang a fucking ornament so I can fucking put you in this vlog. But this year, all gloves are off.
Oh.
So if he doesn't do it hands on, I'm exposing him. Oh. You hear that jelly roll? Okay. Mr. D Ford.
Jelly roll has been exposed.
Mm-hmm. I'm calling you out. To decorate your own fucking tree this year.
I love you. So every year, and for those of you guys who don't know, every year we have a, I don't know how this tradition.
Oh, they fucking know. You fucking have told them.
I don't know how this tradition started, but it started like 3 years ago, maybe 4. No,
we've been doing this pretty much the whole time.
Really? Yeah,
not
okay.
Like, it used to be more like.
Family.
Like, yeah, we had a family tree. Mm-hmm. We would have multiple trees and we would do different themes for all of them as a family.
Right.
What really started was you don't like family trees. You like pretty trees. I like family trees.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you were you were finally like, why don't you just make your own little tree? And I was like, my tree will be cooler than yours, which it was. You know what I'm saying? And that's how competition started.
So everybody gets to vote. So if you guys don't follow us on TikTok, make sure you follow us on TikTok because you will get to see the trees. You'll get to vote. And then we'll announce a winner.
And you fucking bunny lovers. And I call y'all little bunny believers. Oh, you little God. Bunny believers. Y'all better be unbiased for once, okay? Because no. I'm a big fan Hold of this on. Motherfucker too. Well, you know what I'm saying? But...
Hold on, though. You won last year, and I really went all out. You got a fan base
so loyal, they're against me.
No, you won the fucking, everybody was like, Bunny, we love you, but his old school tree really fucking, we loved it. It was nostalgic. That's what they said.
That's what I do. It's the fucking, the Christmas story tree. Everybody said it.
That's all right. Well, you better bring your motherfucking
The only problem is I'm a one-trick pony. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. I do the nostalgia tree.
Well, you've got 5 days to think about it.
We're not doing the competition in 5 days, are we?
Baby, I have to have those trees up before Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
Yes, sir.
This is not fair.